529.
I'm 529.
Okay, that's fast.
Oh, your time.
Okay.
Okay, it's 5:30, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the committee to fill the vacancy on the Board of Supervisors. Seeing everyone is here. Thank you. Our first order of business is to adopt the agenda. As we don't meet on a regular basis, is there any additions or corrections to this agenda that we need to make?
None that I could see.
She's thinking.
I think all my questions will be answered on item number 4.
Okay.
So I think we can broaden that a little bit.
Sure, that's pretty forgiving.
Right.
Item. Okay. So do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
I'll make a motion to adopt our agenda.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion and second. Any discussion?
No.
Okay. I'll call the question. Herridge?
Aye.
Tweet?
Aye.
Martin? Aye. Agenda is adopted. Okay, the next item is approval of minutes. Did you both get a chance to look over the draft minutes that I prepared?
I did, thank you.
Any changes, corrections, spelling errors, grammatical errors?
No.
Okay. Do you have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion?
No.
Herridge?
Aye.
Tweet?
Aye.
Martin, aye. Minutes pass. Okay, we're now at overview of appointment process, which I agree there are some things that we might want to discuss since our last meeting, and now that we have a long agenda in front of us. Stacey, it looked like you had several questions if you want to.
I do. First of all, I had to write it down so I wouldn't forget, so just bear with me. So I reached out to Jessica Reynolds, our first assistant Story County attorney, and Alyssa Wignall, our human resources director, regarding the background screening. We had talked at our initial meeting about the background screening. I would suggest as a committee for the applicant we appoint to have no prior criminal history to be considered for this Board of Supervisor vacancy position.
Okay, and I also discussed with Jessica Reynolds, our first assistant county attorney, these issues, and she suggested, as she said, we don't have to, that's sort of a bright line. Just so that the audience knows, for elected office, that's not, you have to be an eligible elector, which means you have to be at least 18, a citizen, and have no felonies. So we're making the bar a little higher by saying no criminal record, which, as appointed, if we're appointing and we're elected officials, then we're taking the burden on ourselves. And I would agree with you that we want to set that bar a little higher.
Right. So may I pose a question to all the applicants after they've given their 5-minute presentation? I do have a question that I would like to ask each one.
Okay.
Can you go ahead and read that right now?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, one of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history, knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past. Is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed? I would like to add that as a question to each applicant.
Okay. So we'll make that as a we'll take that as a motion.
I will make the motion to adopt Stacy's question as stated.
Okay. And I'll second. Herridge?
Aye.
Tweet?
Aye.
Martin? Aye. Okay. We will add that question, which we'll ask verbally during the presentation process under section 6. I gotta learn my Roman numerals. Go back to fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of housekeeping items to go over. Thank you, Stacey, for bringing up the background check. We had a couple of at least three, I heard from at least three of the applicants about the order of presentation. Some had conflicts because they had prior commitments. This is not, we don't have a regularly scheduled meeting, so, and I think everybody that applied for this evening is a busy person with a lot of service commitments, so it's understandable. And I didn't know if we wanted to allow any leeway in the drawing of lots, or I'm just opening that up to the committee.
I believe I only had two. I see one of the two. I don't know the other one. Are they both here? They're both present?
Yeah, so, and I had one that actually wanted to go first, if possible, for another commitment later this evening. So, because I had heard from two that they could go later and one to go earlier.
I had the two
okay.
to go later. Right.
So, I'm sorry to share that. I just was not, that was from Brenda Brink had asked if she could go on the early side. So,
do you have to pull her name out early, or do you want to pull her first?
Sure.
I'm okay with having her go first. Okay. She has another commitment to get to, because we were going to make some allowances.
Yeah.
If someone needed to, couldn't get here at the start of
I guess I would ask if there's any objections from the other applicants. If we allow Brenda Brink to go first and pull everybody by lot? Anybody? Okay.
Hearing none, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I just want to talk a little bit, too. We are going to ask when applicants are presenting that the other applicants are going to be sequestered in a conference room. And I would just ask that people in the audience do not correspond by text message or Snapchat or whatever you social media you use. Just to self-police yourself and not to, we do this so that it's as fair as possible so people have their time and they're not to themselves, and also that it doesn't give anybody any sort of unfair advantage is the reason for the sequestration. So I just wanted to mention that as well.
I'm fine with that. And I believe that was one of our previous recommendations in the minutes, so yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just didn't want people texting back and forth. Can you tell I'm a teenager? I don't know. All right, do we have anything else on the overview of the appointment process?
I just made some Excel spreadsheets that are helpful for each committee member if they want to use them. I found it helpful going through the applications. You don't have to use it, but I thought it might help you keep them straight. And also, I did talk to Alyssa Wignall. When Story County interviews candidates for a job here at Story County, they use an observation report, which basically helps you, just as they're giving their interview, to take notes as they're talking. If you want, I made copies for you. If you'd like to use the generic form, you don't have to, but I'm going to use it during the interview.
Okay.
So.
I wouldn't mind a copy.
15.
There's 15. Yeah. Thank you, Stacey. Just a quick comment. I would like to thank all the applicants for applying. It's very gratifying to be in a county that has such a number of people that are willing to put themselves forward for public service. It's really nice to see. Supervisor
Clinton.
Oh, housekeeping. Yeah,
that's right.
Sure,
for housekeeping.
I can enter the first floor and the second floor also. Restrooms there.
Restrooms are just past the elevator here. Water fountain straight down the hallway.
If you do go out any of the stairways, you can't get back in. You have to go all the way out in order to come back in to come back up.
Well said. Anything else about the appointment process that we want to discuss now?
I'd like to thank the 15 applicants too for your willingness to apply for this vacancy. I know it's a real tribute to Paul Tooth. I can say that, and I think it's the best way to determine the best candidate. So, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss the process in a public setting so the public can see the whole process and I want to be sure that we treat everyone fairly, and I want to also thank the treasurer and the auditor for their time.
I can only echo what Stacy just said. Thank you, everyone, for being here. This is not a decision we take lightly. All two had literally had big feet, but they're big feet to fill. So, thank you.
Okay. Brings us to item 5, determination of qualified applicants based on completion of application. We had asked all applicants to submit a cover letter, a resume, a letter or letters of recommendation, and then written response to 10 questions that we had determined at our May 17th meeting. So, any discussion about the qualification of applicants?
I had a question about George Belitzo's application material.
Okay.
His background, he listed lists of qualifications, which I determined was like a resume, but as far as a letter of reference or recommendation, he did have a list of people to call, which I did call one of your references today, but I did not see any letter of references. So I would like to ask the committee if that is, would you consider that a complete application? You can certainly review it now if you'd like.
Yeah, I had noticed the same thing. It was a list of references, but not an actual letter of reference.
Right.
Correct. I agree.
Any other applicants that you find?
I believe that was the only one I found
okay.
as well.
Does the committee wish to take any action?
Would you like to withdraw George Pulitzer's application based on...
Well, I was looking at the material as far as what we had posted on the web, and it did clearly state, I feel, I didn't know if there's any kind of gray area that you found as far as with the information. So I'm very reluctant to move... to remove him from the list of applicants, but I do, you know, as far as it was a requirement for the application, so I would move that we remove George's name from the list of applicants.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I will second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Thank you, George. Would you like to comment, George? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Okay, you sit there, yeah. Thank you.
I was at a medical school graduation with a relative, and didn't get back until Tuesday, and that gave me very few days to ask for references. So I answered all the questions, had my cover letter, had my resume in there, but just didn't feel good about calling people and asking for a written reference, so I just listed the references for you to call. You did give us quite a short period of time.
I really like that.
We're under short time.
Yeah, we're, yeah.
Being at that graduation, I was in Wisconsin, so right. Just didn't get back into it.
Right, and I do know a lot of people cut their Memorial holiday short to hustle back to get here today, so we do appreciate that, but we have to realize that there's a primary election next week, and Lizzie will be out in the rest of this week with School of Instruction, so the timeline isn't just my timeline, it's the county's timeline as well, so we apologize for that, George, but thank you very much for your application.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I'll call the question. Herridge?
Aye.
Dweet?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Okay. Disqualify. Belitzos?
Oh.
If I can ask at this time, is there any candidate that is voluntarily withdrawing?
To please come forward?
If you would.
To Mike. State
I'm Arvin Greiner, and I think I'll withdraw my application at this time. Although this decision was made before you start talking about criminal records.
Let the record show that that does not reason.
Arden, we appreciate your application because I know you play a big role in Story County and advocating for the taxpayers.
Yes.
Thank you, Arden.
And I'm not talking about TIF. That's just me. Okay, so.
Do we make a motion on that?
I make a motion to accept Arden Greiner's withdrawal.
Okay.
I will second that.
All right. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. So that leaves us with 13 qualified candidates. And we can go ahead and draw the lots then, with the notation that Brenda Brank will present first.
Okay.
Okay. So I gotta. This is my very official hat, which is an empty checkbox. Let's see. This will be number one.
And we do have an official timer, is that correct?
Yes, we do have an official timekeeper. My office staff has very generously agreed to work this meeting. Thank you. And based on the many candidate forums I've been to, we do have some. Those timer sheets somewhere that I made that I can no longer see right now.
Yeah,
Daddy has them. Okay.
So are we saying a minimum of 5 minutes or more than seven according to the
minutes? I don't know that we need to set a minimum. That's just a sort of a rule of thumb because sometimes you speak more quickly than you practice. It probably no more than seven. Is the time limit.
I'm thinking that's what was in the minutes.
And then the expectation is five, but we won't, if it's 4 minutes and 53 seconds, we're not going to, you can say for a while, I suppose.
That doesn't work very good in a professional role.
Yeah. Okay, I have, if I can have the treasurer's full names, and I'll put the order on here. With rank of one.
Roxanne Das.
Number two. Okay.
Elizabeth Baird.
Three is Baird.
Charles Good
is four.
That's a big hat.
That's so you can see the bottom.
John Kruzik.
That's five.
David Whitaker.
Six.
Linda Merkin.
Seven.
Galen Wilkie.
That's number eight.
Loris Olson.
Nine.
Scott Shaven. Ted Tedesco. Dane Nielsen.
One more.
Martin Tree.
Number 13. Okay, so the order of presentation will be Brenda Brink, followed by Roxanne Das, third, Elizabeth Baird, four, Charles Good, five, John Kruzik, six, David Whitaker, seven, Linda Merkin, eight, Galen Wilkie, nine, Loris Olson, 10, Scott Shaven. 11, Ted Tedesco. 12, Dane Nielsen. Martin Chitty, lucky number 13. So, free ventricle from my office will be hurting the candidates. If every all candidates, with the exception of Brenda Brink, could go with Brady Place this time. Close that door just for the sound, and we'll just
Lucy, I'm going to shut this.
Yeah, you want to shut the door? Okay. Yeah. Candidates are going to present from the lectern here, and then the timekeeper is Patty Hillman from my office. Patty, you want to just show the time cards? Okay. So we have a 5-minute mark if you reach it. We have 1 minute remaining, 30 seconds remaining, and then time. So. Brenda Brink, we're ready for you.
Quick question. After they're done, do they go back to the sequestered room?
Or yes.
Can they stay there?
No, they go back.
Okay. Just one question.
So we only have one candidate in the room at a time.
Okay.
And when they're done, as far as the follow-up questions?
Right. When you're done speaking, we do have one follow-up question, and the committee might have additional questions for you based on your presentation. So,
thank you.
So if you want to let us know when to start, Patty.
Okay. All right. Thank you. My name is Brenda Brink. And I do appreciate the opportunity to be with so many well-qualified applicants. I'm a native Iowan. My husband and I both grew up in Iowa on family farms. We both grew up in 4-H. Our parents were in 4-H. Our kids were in 4-H through high school. I'm even involved in 4-H now, and they've been out of high school for a while. I'm still the 4-H superintendent for horticulture. And that kind of defines me, I guess, because you know what? We always learned the 4-H slogan, to make the best better. So sometimes people look at me like I'm a little idealistic, but that's who I am. That's who I am. Well, my husband and I both graduated from Iowa State. I just want to spend a little bit of time telling you who I am. My husband taught at Kirkwood Community College before we got married and after we got married, and I taught some high school home economics. Then I decided I needed to go back to school. I like a challenge. That's another thing that tells you something about me. I like a challenge. So I went back to school. Iowa State, became a dietitian eventually. We have a stake in Iowa. After my husband and I got married, we bought a place here. We got married, and we've been married over 30 years. So the other thing you need to know about me is I know how to compromise. Well, the main issues that relate to who I am as a person is I've been working for a good number of years, mostly through my involvement with Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. And the main issues that I see as what I would like to see differently in our county, which I think is the best county in Iowa, even though I grew up in Southwest Iowa. That's why we're still here. The first thing is I worry about water quality. I see no change in water quality with the current circumstances. We need a change. There are what are some people call CAFOs. The rest of us call it factory farms. It's not what we grew up on. My husband and I didn't grow up on these kind of farms. There needs to be something changed. When last summer, after my husband and I had been waiting for years and years to get rural water, and we're so happy with rural water, I mean, we didn't even have that shallow well on our place tested. We knew it was bad water. We finally got rural water coming through, signed on right away, and last summer, couldn't drink it. Nitrates. There's something wrong. At this point, I would say This is a crisis. So I think we need to do something that is as drastic as the fact that you can't drink your water from rural water systems. What about all the people out there in the country who have no idea? They don't have the money to have a new well. They don't have the money to sign up for rural water. They are stuck with what they've got, and you know what? Chances are it's high in nitrates, dangerous. It's a crisis. And I would be even to the point to say, the group that I've been working with lately, that there needs to be a moratorium on the expansion of factory farms and factory farms in general. We have got a crisis. The other issue that I think is really pertinent that has to do with water quality is the whole Bakken pipeline issue. I've been working on that and trying to stop that for years, too. And we are not done. This is not a done deal. There are three lawsuits, landowners and Sierra Club, and we are still working on it. We are still fighting it. And the more we fight it and the more we educate people, the more we realize this is not good for Iowa. It is not good for someone to come in from out of state and dump all the risk on us. It's just a matter of time. It's not if, it's when we will have a spill. That's water. That's water. The third thing I think we need to be doing, and other counties have started working on it, is we need to raise the minimum wage. It's a poverty wage right now. We need to get it up to $15 an hour over time. That is where we can say that we have really done something for our people. I remember working at a place, and you know what they got? I mean, it was just laughable. I just wanted to cry. They got a nickel an hour raise, and these are the people that are feeding your elderly relatives, might be feeding you someday, and they got a nickel an hour raise. There is something wrong. Fight for 15. We need to raise the wages of people who do the real hard work. And the last thing is, I have real concerns about tax increment financing. Now, I am from Southwest Iowa, and guess what? Very good high school. Won the state tournament for girls 1 year. You know what? We won't have a school next year. Tax increment financing is like a snowball effect. It is stealing and sucking funds from our schools, from our county here, and from our rural communities. Why is it that we have projects getting that money when they would have the project anyway? Tax increment financing needs to be examined and examined for what it really is. I believe it's a form of tax itself for the communities and the schools that are losing that. So those are the four things that I would like to work on, and I do appreciate your time, and I would like to be your supervisor. Thank you.
You had it so nicely phrased.
Just trying to read it to you, so I read it to the same to everyone. One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass the committee or Story County if you are appointed?
How far back are we going?
I think 7 years.
Oh, well.
No, honestly,
I think it's
18 and older. Oh, 18 and older. Oh,
anything after age 18.
Yeah. Oh, no. No.
Thank you very much.
I had a question, too. If you are appointed, how will this change your schedule? Are there any commitments, time commitments that you foresee having to give up if you are serving on the Board of Supervisors?
No. I have many things I do. But I went from being self-employed now to semi-retired, basically retired, so I am available.
Great. I have two questions for you, Brenda. The first one, I noticed on your questionnaire that Story County has not had the gender balance for the Board of Supervisors, which we haven't had for 6 years, and in that 6 years I don't recall any issues. Why do you feel that this needs to be a high consideration for this appointment?
I think gender balance is one basic way to get a good balance of perspectives, and I think gender balance is probably just like the lowest bar to getting the best perspectives, but it's what we need to have, I think, to promote women, and I'm all about promoting women.
My second question is, you wrote in there, and I agree, government is serving the people 24/7. You mentioned that you see a challenge in Story County with the weekly meetings being on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. In the 6 years that I have been in my position, I know various times the board has tried different cities, different times, different locations, and working around individual schedules, and now we have the audio and the video out there online for people to watch at their leisure when they can, working around their own schedules. What other options do you have in mind to make it available to the public?
I assumed that you had made some efforts on that, but I still feel it's worth pursuing because times do change. And I see that the younger people, like I didn't introduce my husband and my oldest son, Evan Berger, but younger people have a different aspect, have a different work attitude and different work history. And I think sometimes it's good to revisit things like that because sometimes, again, like being self-employed, they might have more opportunities to come at different times. I just think it's good to involve younger people. If you look around the room here, I mean, it's, you know, we got to involve more young people.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for letting me go first.
Oh, sure. Bree, do you want to take her and bring in Roxanne Das, please?
Actually, I can see you better if you sit over there.
Oh, okay. I can all see you better if you sit over there.
That's okay. No, it makes sense, but then I was, I felt like I was going like this.
Oh.
I don't like looking at it.
I'm constantly swiveling my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. The old pricing. They don't have to be present to win. Is that?
It's true. We didn't make that a requirement.
Yeah, it's not a requirement. Yeah, we didn't. So. So, you know, Patty Hillman is taking time, and she will hold up the 5-minute mark, and then at the 6-minute mark, 6.5 minutes, and then 7. So.
Okay. Great. Well, I am Roxanne Das, and I just want to first off let you know how saddened I was to hear about Supervisor Toot. I didn't get a chance to interact with him very much, but when I did, he seemed like the quiet voice of reason on the board and very passionate about what he does. So his shoes will be hard to fill. With that being said, I was impressed with all of the applicants with their backgrounds, but I feel like my background makes me the most qualified to fill the vacant position. I'm a young working professional. I work in Des Moines, but my fiance and I, we decided to make Ames our home because of the amenities and resources here. I also have an older brother, sister-in-law, and twin nephews who are in the county, and I have my parents in the county as well who are looking to retire. So I have a connection to people and families from all shapes and sizes, from all sorts of different backgrounds, and I feel like I can offer a unique perspective to them, and I can really be a voice for these younger families who want to set up a home but are still, you know, paying off loans or student debt. I can be a voice for the older generation who are getting ready to retire and are looking for things to do here and who need help navigating different county offices to help them. And I also understand the needs of people who are looking for work, who need to find access to good health care, who want good schools for their children, because I've been there or I know people who have been there. I also understand the different communities we have here in Story County. I have grown up in places like Dallas, Texas, which is a huge city larger than the state of Iowa, to a small rural town in Everly, Iowa. So I understand the unique needs of each town, of urban cities, where they need affordable transportation and affordable housing, to rural towns, where we need to balance our agricultural roots, but we also want to keep our waterways clean and keep our environments clean. And so I understand those unique situations that different communities face, and we have those kinds of communities here in Story County. And also, my professional background gives me a really unique perspective. I'm sure as you saw on my resume, I've done several things. I've worked as a journalist. I covered county government for many years with the Des Moines Register weeklies. I covered Poweshiek County, where there was a college there. I also covered Iowa County, which is a very rural county next to the University of Iowa. And I worked one-on-one with the Board of Supervisors in each of those counties. Every week I went to their meetings. I asked questions. I learned about the issues they were learning about because I had to report that back to the public. And so I took it upon myself to learn what it is a supervisor does and what role they play in their communities. I've also worked in public relations and as a grassroots organizer in politics. And so I was able to work one-on-one with local governments and state governments to achieve successes on our different projects that we worked on. I worked as a grassroots organizer to garner local support across the entire state for renewable fuels. I actually met with the Board of Supervisors here last year to talk about renewable fuels and renewable energies. And then as a public relations associate, I worked with state entities and local entities to bring new businesses to different communities across the entire state. We worked with the State Historical Society and balanced the need of a new business, but also to preserve the historical aspect of the downtown district and the town that we were in. And with my professional and volunteer roles, I've also worked with budgets. I've worked in creating a budget. I've worked on creating projects within a budget. And from one of my reference letters, you can see that I did several budgets or several projects statewide and actually came in under budget. I worked as the entertainment chair in a volunteer capacity for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation for Central Iowa as their entertainment chair. And I had to find music, entertainment, and games for our Hope Gala, which is the largest fundraising night of the year, on a nonprofit budget, which some of you may know, nonprofits operate on a very shoestring budget. And I actually came in under budget for that on the entertainment portion. And so we were able to put more money to food and drinks and other things that actually successfully raised over $4 million that night for juvenile diabetes. So I have been working several years to elect good people to office, and I've been encouraging young people to get involved with their local governments. And so I decided this was finally the time for me to get up off the bench and take my own advice and get involved with local politics, because that's where we can really affect change. My parents grew up in Asia. My mom in the Philippines during the Marcos regime. My dad is a Christian in Pakistan. And they didn't get a chance to voice their opinions as much as they probably would have wanted. And they've always encouraged me to be a voice for everyone else. And that's where I can really see myself doing that, is here in local politics, being a voice for all the young families and the retirees and the people looking for jobs out there. And I know I work in politics, but I know in local governments, both from my interactions with county supervisors and city councils, and just as an outsider looking in, that you can set politics by the wayside. It's about finding solutions in local government. It's not about trying to achieve this party line agenda or something else. And so in politics, I want to find the solutions that Story County needs. And I've seen it with Supervisors Sanders, Clinton, and Toot. I saw them set that aside and work together to make Story County a better place. And I want to continue that, continue what they've set down in place. And I also want to help bring a new leadership, a new generation of leadership to Story County. So I really appreciate your time and your consideration today.
You can stay. We have questions for you.
Stacey, we'll start with you as always.
My canned question. So one of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County that you are appointed?
No, there's not.
Great.
I can ask my, if appointed, what will that do to your current time commitments, service commitments, employment commitments? Is there any change that would have to happen?
Actually, no. Before applying, I checked to make sure with my supervisors at my office to see if I were to apply and to get this appointment, would it be any change to the duties that I have to do and to the duties that are required of a supervisor. And we've worked it out that it shouldn't be an issue. And I'm pretty good at managing my time, so.
And I just have one question for you, Roxanne. Being appointed versus elected, I feel you have to earn the trust and respect of not only the Story County employees, but also the public as well. You mentioned you were a public relations associate.
Yes.
In what ways do you feel that you will earn the trust and respect of not only the employees, but the public?
I have spent my entire professional career working with people. As a journalist, you have to earn the trust of the people that you're interviewing so they'll talk to you. In public relations, you have to earn the trust of your clients. In campaigns and grassroots organizing, you have to earn the trust of local governments. I think a part of what really helps me earn the trust of all these people I've worked with is just listening to them, giving them the time that they need to express any issues, any concerns that they might have. And if appointed, I would spend a lot of the first few weeks just listening to people, understanding what it is that they need. There might be something there that I had no idea about, and just learning from them and learning about them and just taking a genuine interest in anyone who comes to me with any concerns.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bree will, you're like the sergeant at arms or something. Okay. Oh, sorry. Candidate Baird.
In that room.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Patty is keeping time, and she will. That's the first thing you'll see is 5 minutes, 2 minutes remaining, and then from there it'll go to 1 minute remaining, 30 seconds remaining, and then time. So
okay.
Perfect. No, nobody's run out of time yet.
And
no,
when you're done.
No contact. You know, it's not a competition, but it is a competition actually.
I was actually going. I'm not started yet, am I?
No.
I was actually going to put my timer on my phone there to watch it, but since I'll just watch it instead.
And when you're done, just remain at the podium for additional questions.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
My name is Elizabeth Baird, and since I'm talking with you, I think I'll forward over here pretty much. Good evening, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts with you as you consider applicants to the interim position on the Story County Board of Supervisors. I know that this is a difficult situation for you, that Paul Toot was a good friend and a colleague, and it makes this a particularly difficult situation. I imagine you have already heard, and you will be hearing a lot of different approaches to the presentation this evening. And as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about, I decided to look to the Ames Tribune, Austin, for some inspiration. I had noted that they had recently changed the format in which they report on government meetings. They used to have a more long, detailed quotes, so on, and they've gone to a what-you-need-to-know version. And they're calling it consolidated news, and I hear that people like it. So I decided I would use that version. So here are the five things you need to know about me as an applicant for the interim position on the Story County Board of Supervisors. First, I'm going to tell you my five questions, my five areas. Why did I apply? Second, what strengths do I bring to the current Board of Supervisors? Third, what are the issues that I see as the top issues facing the Board of Supervisors in the next 6 months? Fourth, what is the one thing or two things that I would most like to accomplish during those 6 months from my appointment on June 4th all the way to the canvass about a week after the November election? Okay, I'm watching.
Week after the election, yeah.
November 15th.
And fifth, for those of you who are David Brook opinion readers, what do I do in my leisure time? We've got somebody back here. And in the interest of time, I'll probably actually basically read my responses. I did time myself, but I have a tendency to ramble, so I'm going to stay on time here. First of all, why did I apply? In my application, I indicated that I am seeking the appointment, but I would not run in the November election to complete the balance of the vacancy, the two-year vacancy. The selection of an interim appointee typically advantages that person in the future election, unless they do something really awful or have a criminal record. And my appointment allows the vacancy board to appoint both a well-qualified interim appointment and have an open, level playing field in November. So that's really what was driving my thoughts initially. Second, what strengths do I bring to the current Board of Supervisors? My resume and my references talk a lot about that, so I'm going to pull out just a few things. First thing I'd like to talk about is a background in community and regional planning and transportation planning. As Story County moves forward with the approval and implementation of the cornerstone to capstone long-range comprehensive plan for the county, my experience with both long-range planning and policy work in a variety of areas will be valuable. I worked deeply on the first Iowa in Motion transportation plan that was back in the 90s. I worked with the RISE Economic Development Program. I worked with the Commercial and Industrial Network System. So planning is something, and since planning is really the adoption coming up shortly and the implementation after that, I think that will be helpful. Second, I have a background and long-time experience and interest in communications. My undergraduate is in journalism and mass communications. I have always focused on communications. And at the county level, I think this includes communications within Story County government and its departments, between the county and the public, and among the members of the Board of Supervisors. Asking the right question and listening carefully to the answer are skills that I see as fundamental and that I would bring to the board. And finally, a nonpartisan approach that I have taken in my work at the DOT for 16 years as state legislative liaison through the League of Women Voters, through the Iowa Women's Political Caucus, in a lot of different ways, I think is very, very, very important. I'm sounding like Donald Trump here, I think, but as state legislative liaison, I worked closely with state legislators and staff from both the Republican and the Democratic Party. Both policy topics and constituent issues were a lot of my time, were important, and I strove to work well with all legislators, even if we did not agree on a specific issue. I learned the phrase, we're going to have to agree to disagree, and it's a good phrase. It's an ability I would bring to the board. Third, what would I like to accomplish? I'm excited about the long-range plan. I know that the implementation is the key. my hope would be that the quality of life for all Story County residents, including viable transportation choices, adequate housing, quality jobs, a healthy environment, is always considered as the plan is implemented. I'd like to explore how Story County government interacts with the public. As I was preparing for this presentation, I spent a lot of time on the Story County website. I thought I had spent a lot of time before, but I found layers I had never seen. And one of the things I ran across was a YouTube meeting video. And I put on my application I would like to see this happen, so I'm checking that one off. I would like to see it publicized. It's good to be able to see and actually watch the meetings. Fourth, the top issues, I think, are preparation of the fiscal year budget, but since that does not happen until November, I really think that it's strong fiscal oversight. The reorganization of mental health care services and the Medicaid system will be very important. And finally, I think land use and planning issues will be on the forefront. And fifth, what do I do for my leisure? My husband retired in 2010. I retired in 2013. And I'll make it short and say we're having a ball. Thank you very much. And I appreciate your time.
Okay, we have some additional questions for you. We're starting with Stacy for everybody.
One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
I do not have any criminal history, and I told someone that I have never ridden naked on rag bri, so I think you're good to go.
I just had a question about, if appointed, what will that do to your current commitments, service commitments, personal commitments, employment commitments?
One of the advantages about being retired is there's a lot of flexibility. One of the things I'm doing, one of my favorite things, is working with the Ames Community Solar Initiative. It is just starting, but Ames will be doing a community solar garden. And that is something that's very flexible. I have several other things, but they're bits and pieces of time, and they're all flexible.
I just have one question for you. You indicated you are not wanting to run for the November election.
Right.
In what way can you confirm to us and the public that during the 6 months of your appointment, your decision-making will be in the best interest of Story County, simply because long after you're gone, we're left to deal with those decisions that you helped make, whether they were good or bad?
I think you could almost flip that question, because I think the fact that I am not running means that I'm thinking only about Story County. I wouldn't be doing that if I wasn't. If I was running, there might be other things that would come into my decision-making, but those won't be there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Ben. Thank you.
We next have
Charlie Good.
Charles Good. Yeah, they didn't come out of the box in any sort of order, so I'm all over the place.
That was my fault.
That's okay. That's how it's supposed to work.
You said random.
We got random. I took out the because of
Shelley's. This is blinking. It was talking to me a little bit and blinking red and amber. And
try pressing it again.
Keeps
beeping. You have to put it on the table, though. If you lift it up, it's not going to work.
No, it keeps beeping.
You heard it too, right?
Yeah, because I thought it was your cell phone.
But we have
is it just recalibrate?
We have wired mics, so just talking to them.
I've just been concentrating on the mic, so should I shut it off?
I figured if we have all of them, we're good to go.
Okay, so just want to make sure it's on.
I can put that in.
I'm good. I can just.
I don't feel good, but wait.
Just before you start, Patty over here is your timekeeper, and the first she'll first pull up a sign at the 5 minute mark, and then again at the 6 minute mark, 6.5 minutes, and then time is limited to 7 minutes. So,
good.
And then if you want to stay up there when you're finished, we might have follow-up questions for you as well.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here. I'm Charlie Good. I'm the owner of Good and Quick up here on Lincoln Highway. Been in business for 34 years, 22 years up here. Worked for a 118 store convenience store chain as a district supervisor before moving back to Iowa in 95 and getting into my venture up here. Prior to that, I ran a little convenience store company in southeast Iowa. We were the third largest Phillips oil marketer back in 82, 3, and 4. The organizations that I serve on right now, I'm a national spokesman for E15 ethanol to promote Iowa and the ethanol industry. I have been to Washington, D.C. 3 times in the last 3 years to meet with the EPA and congressmen and senators to promote Iowa and the ethanol. Due to speak in front of the EPA next week down in Kansas City. I'm a representative for the American Coalition for Ethanol out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm also on the Economic Development Council here in Nevada. I was on the Highway 30 Task Force where the DOT was wanting to close down the city of Nevada, and we opposed that, and we got about 1,600 signatures, 14 different meetings, and have got the DOT to accept our plan, which is to keep Nevada open and hopefully to keep Story County open and not just a drive-by county. I was on the Petroleum Marketers of Iowa Retail Advisory Committee for 3 years. I was one of the original founders of the Cornerstone Church in Zering. I was on the board there from 2004 to 2011, and I was on the North Story Little League board from 2000 to 2008, out of Story City, Roland, in North Story County. I feel that I'm qualified for the position. Many of the things that I've done have required bringing people together. It's required budgeting and being able to form teams and hit a bottom line goal. When I went to work for Martin and Bailey, which was Huck's Food Stores in Illinois, I took the worst district in the company and made it the second most profitable district in the 5.5 years I was there, and it accounted for 22% of the bottom line in that company every year. Paul Toot would come into my store every morning and get his diet pop before he'd come up here, and we would talk about many things. I would ask how they get to some things, how they decided on certain things, and I knew Paul ever since he was Story County deputy right out of high school, and I've been getting involved in some political stuff. I'm not what you would call a politically correct type of guy. And I think if you would have came to any of the Highway 30 Task Force meetings, you would have seen that. But I think I've been a fiscally responsible person. I feel pretty good that I've been able to be in business in Nevada for the years that I have been, competing against the come and goes and Casey's. And I've got a nice little store up there. I've got a good group of people. I've got a good team. I'm for anything that's pro-growth Story County, pro-growth Nevada. I know we need housing. I know we need housing everywhere. We need to be able to attract more manufacturing business to the area. I'm on the Economic Development Council in Nevada, so I'm involved in a lot of that. With the new plan that hopefully will be the plan when the DOT finally does go forward with the Highway 30 corridor, some additions of some new roads will increase the property values out there, and it will give us City of Nevada and Story County great expansion plans for the next 50 to 100 years. And I know that the picture that was in the Nevada Journal wasn't very good to look at, but we worked long and hard and tireless hours on that. And I think that we probably got, hopefully, about 95% of the people on board with it. You can't please all the people all the time, but you can sure please more than what the DOT tried to please. And the DOT's goal was to herd people through here as quickly as possible. Our goal is to get them to stop. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell. This will be my, well, I don't know, I guess my first venture into politics, but I don't necessarily look at this as politics. I look at it as business, the business of running the county in a fiscal and responsible way that doesn't necessarily put more tax levy or higher taxes on the citizens of the county. I pay taxes just like anybody else, and I think throwing money at some things isn't necessarily the way to do it. Reorganization and smart budgeting and fiscal responsibility come first. There might not be some things that we get to do when we want to do them, but we got to look at the future and down the road for economic growth. Economic growth will lead to prosperity for even the smaller towns if we can get housing and we can get more population into the county. We'll increase the tax base. If we can get more manufacturing and jobs into the county, we'll increase the population base, which will in turn increase the tax base. And that's my goal for the county. My goal for the county is to be better than Polk County or any other county around. Story County is a beautiful place. We got a lot of great people. We got a lot of great facilities. If you'd like to ask any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
I'll go first. Stacey's going first. One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that, the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past. Is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
Nope, I'm clean.
If appointed, what would that do to your current time commitments in business?
I have management in place to run my business. I'm used to working 80 hours a week. You know, I mean, my dad always told me I should work smart, not hard, a lot longer. But I'm a work 4:30 every morning. My commitment to the county would be 100%. Yes, I would manage my business through my management. I realize that time being served on boards and other meetings is important and it comes first, and I would be able to manage that with my business also.
Charlie, I just have one more question for you. We had some applicants that think the Board of Supervisors should be a more gender balanced. In my 6 years, we have not had the gender balance. That was before my time, and I cannot or do not recall absolutely any issues in that 6 years not having the gender balance. What is your opinion on that?
Well, yay and nay. I mean, it's about qualifications, okay? And if a qualified person, no matter what gender they are, and I have no problem with that. I know a lot of, when I was at Martin and Bailey, we had female supervisors that were very good and very sharp. And I guess I don't look at anything as gender balanced or Republican or Democrat. I don't look at that type of stuff. I look at fiscal business. I'm just in the business. So I guess that's the only way I know how to answer that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlie.
If
you'll go back with Bree.
Okay. Thank you.
John Kruzik is our next person.
Not like the wild card question.
No, you're good.
I have a couple of them. I'm going to ask.
Hello.
Welcome.
So before you get started, so Patty is the timekeeper, and the first sign she'll raise is at 5 minutes, which says you have 2 minutes left, and then she'll do one at 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes, and then time 7. So.
And when you're done, don't leave the podium. We'll have additional questions for you.
Is there a requirement that I stay here at the podium?
Yeah.
Or can I
you want to walk around with
a lot
of you? Because of the mics, we can't allow that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that you're on record.
All right. So are we started?
Floor is yours.
Yeah.
Whenever you're ready.
So, welcome. Thank you. I guess I kind of struggled with what to talk about when I come here today. But I figure since absolutely nobody here knows me, I don't think, except one person, I would just introduce myself and spend some time doing that. And if I have some time at the end, maybe talk about kind of why I'm here and why I want to be here. So I'm John Cruzage. I was born in Appaloosa County, spent most of my childhood in Davis County, all southeastern Iowa and rural southeastern Iowa. I graduated Davis County High School and left there to go to Indian Hills Community College to study aviation maintenance. I spent most of my childhood with my dad in a garage working on cars, and he introduced me to the romance of aviation, so it seemed natural when I was 18 to put those together. So I left college for the U.S. Army. I worked for them in active duty for 6 years as a crew chief, and I was 58 helicopters. Towards the end of my active duty term, I decided I wanted to pursue my bachelor's degree a little more vigorously than night school. So I left there, came back to southeastern Iowa, finished up some general education stuff, and came here in 99 with my wife. And since then, we've doubled. We've got an 11-year-old girl and a 13-year-old boy in the Nevada school system. I finished up my bachelor's degree in industrial technology with an emphasis in manufacturing in the spring of 2002. And in the late summer of 2002, I got the opportunity to go back full-time as an active duty soldier in the Iowa National Guard. In the meantime, I'd been working on Hawks and Hueys and Boone, but this time I got the opportunity to join a program called Counter Drug, which is a joint Army Air program and in flight operations. So it was kind of aviation management. I did that in Waterloo, so I commuted here 5 days a week from here to Waterloo Airport, which I do not recommend if you decide you want to try. In 2008, I got the opportunity to for lateral transfer in the same organization as a criminal analyst. If I may pause here for just a second, the Trib had me as the director of the Central Iowa Drug Task Force, and why I wish I got paid like the director. I assure you, I'm not the director. I'm a criminal analyst with them. So, and I've been doing that since 2008, and I really enjoy it. It's been rewarding. I've had the opportunity to work side by side with narcotics detectives to keep drugs and drug dealers off of our streets. Our jurisdiction is Boone's Story in Greene County. So it's a bit of a wide swath, but yeah, I've really enjoyed it. And that's the full time side. To have this job, I still have to have a drill commitment. And that commitment for the past 5 years has been a first sergeant. And in the Air Force, I guess I should tell you this, since this is a joint program, I got the opportunity to stay in this program and make the switch. And I had been on too many Air Force bases that had swimming pools and ice cream and realized that I had made the wrong choice. So I made the switch to the Air Force. And so I've been an Air Force first sergeant, and it is, by and large, the most rewarding opportunity I've had in the military, because first sergeants take care of people. And if you ask any first sergeant, they'll tell you their first charge is taking care of people. And whether that's helping somebody deal with a death in their family, having trouble in a school, having trouble with money at home, having trouble just adjusting as a new airman. It's really rewarding to have been able to come alongside of those people and understand that you've affected change in their life. So for another almost 5 hours, I will be Master Sergeant Cruzage, but at midnight I will become retired Master Sergeant Cruzage. So this is why I'm smiling right now. I have 25 years in the military. It's time to hang up my uniform. And because I've been a first sergeant, I've got that servant leadership experience that has been really rewarding for me. And I'm closing a couple of really big chapters in my life. And I'm really not done yet. I want to remain in the servant leadership role. And honestly, I have almost little political experience. I've got to be up front. But I'm really eager to be here, and I'm really eager to learn. And I've always appreciated how well Story County runs, and I would like to come alongside, at least for a short amount of time, the two of you, and help with this governing. And I've got a little bit of time left. Is it appropriate to ask if anybody has any questions?
Not yet. I think we're doing public comment at the end.
Oh, public comment comes after this. Yeah.
All right. Well,
we haven't allowed anybody else to do it. So.
All right. Well, with that then.
You don't have to go all 7 minutes.
No. Well, sure. Well, with that then, I'll wrap up and just thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. And if you want to stay, we do have questions for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
No, ma'am.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your retirement at midnight.
Thank you.
But do you have any time commitments that you would have to give up if appointed to this position?
I do not. This is why I haven't thus far, because I have had, and so this is a perfect time in my life and my career and my family's life. So I do not.
John, first and foremost, thank you very much for your 25 years of service to our country. We all appreciate it. And being retired, that took away my questions, so I have no further questions.
Okay.
Other than I'm glad you went from sleeping on the floor in the Army to a real bed in the Air Force.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
I'm done.
Okay, all right.
Thank you very much.
David Whitaker is next free.
Can we take a 2 minute recess?
Oh, yeah. Sure. We'll take a 2 minute recess. Well, we get the new candidate. Okay, go ahead. Sometimes the spirit moves you and you come to the mic without filling one out. That's fine. Okay.
All right.
Please start nicely. Yeah. So we'll call us back to session at 6:46. And David, Patty in the white sweater there, she's your timekeeper, so just keep an eye on her. She said you got 7 minutes. She'll first show a sign at 5 minutes. So, and you can start when you're ready.
Excellent. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Whitaker, and it is with great pleasure that I have the opportunity to speak in front of you tonight. I'd like to make mention the other 14 candidates that applied, now 13, and congratulate them in their choice to run for public office here for Story County Supervisor. I'd like to also take a second and thank the selection committee for you guys' time and efforts and hard work throughout this process. You guys are going to have an arduous task ahead of you. I'd like to take the rest of my time tonight to tell you a little bit about myself, my family, and my thoughts for Story County. My wife is sitting right over here. Ann Whitaker brought her with me tonight. My name's David Whitaker. My wife, Ann, we've been married for 11 years. I have two children, Colton and Caleb. Colton is 6 years old. He's my firstborn son. Second is Caleb. We make our home just south of, right in between Ames and Nevada, just south along the interstate on 35, about 3 miles south where we farm just outside of town. I'm originally from Montana. I made my way to North Dakota, where I got an AAS degree from Bismarck State College, and then continued coursework once coming to Iowa at Des Moines Area Community College, and then later in life decided to go back and re-educate and continue to get my Iowa real estate broker's license from the Iowa Real Estate Commission. I have a vast variety of experiences that have prepared me for this position as Story County Supervisor. For the last 14 years, I've had the opportunity to be a professional firefighter for the city of Ames. Firefighting has taught me a lot. Every day there's a lesson. And with that, the three take-home points that I have from the fire department are this. Number one is we always work in teams at the fire department. We're always working with other people, which prepares us for this position. Secondly, we got the opportunity to work with cities, policies, procedures, and everything we do has a protocol attached with it. And lastly, and most important thing that we learned at the fire department is this, and that is every day you have the opportunity to interact and work with the public. Work with and for as our privilege to work for the public. In 2005, as I said, my wife and I farmed just south of town. We started just shortly after we were married, W.W. Angus Ranch, where we own and operate a purebred Angus herd. It's a small cow-calf herd, again, just south of 30. But make no mistake, my wife is the cattle behind the hat. In 2008, as I said, we went and got my real estate license, and we started collectively, my wife and I, an auctioneer real estate firm that we built from the ground up called Whitaker Marketing Group. At this company, we've done everything that a person would do, from budgets to trust accounts with the different real estate that we sell. It is a fast, fun, and transparent way to interact with people. The best thing about being an auctioneer is I get to talk with people all the time, and I get to help them liquidate their asset in the fastest means possible. Along with that, I had the privilege for the past 3 years to work as a director of the board for the Iowa Auctioneer Association and make decisions with them. I think there's a huge quality that we need to look for in a Story County supervisor, and that is decision-making. At the fire department, we learn make a decision. Right, wrong, or indifferent, make a decision and have a reason to always stand behind it and justify why you made that decision. I bring that to the table. Along with that, there's 92,000 people, 15 different cities, 19 departments, $40 million worth of budget, and 250-plus employees that work in the county that you're going to be in charge of. There's five principles that I think are very important for the supervisor to have, and I'm going to list them right here. Model the way. We want to make sure that we are always leading by example at the county. Secondly, inspire a shared vision. The current board has done an outstanding job of this with the C2C plan established in 2015, moving forward into 2036. Challenge the process. There's more than one seat up there. This is a great thing. Rick might have a different opinion than David Whitaker. Wayne might ask a different question than David Whitaker. This lets us challenge the process for each and every one of our customers that are out there. Enable others to act. As I said, there's 19 different departments in the county, and as such, there's department heads. We have to work with them collectively. And it's always been my impression to put the right people in play in those jobs and give them the tools to succeed, as I'm not a micromanager. And encourage the heart. We want people to live in Story County. It's a great place to live, and we want them to always want to live here, whether it be a conservation plan or a new bike trail. So looking forward, Story County remains strong and committed to providing sound and sustainable service. We're always improving and looking to improve the quality of life for our residents. So why do I want to be Story County Supervisor? The answer is simple. Winston Churchill said it best, we make a living off of what we get. We make a life out of what we give. Let me get back to you, Story County. My name is David Whitaker, candidate for Story County Supervisor. Thank you. God bless.
Okay, David, if you want to remain, we have a few questions for you.
One of our requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
I have no reason to believe so.
Thank you.
And my question has to do with time commitments. You're a firefighter. You have service obligations. So if appointed, what would that do to your current obligations and what would change about your schedule?
So I talked with Bob Shanker at the city as well as my fire chief and asked them if it would be appropriate and acceptable to run for office first and or the appointment, and they were both excited and thrilled for me to do that, and they're okay with me running collectively or congruently with them. I would do that for a short amount of time, but make no mistake, I want to be supervisor and no longer work for the fire department if I would be appointed or elected to that position.
I just have one question, Dave. I've asked many applicants because of the female is a bigger margin of our applicants. And some of them feel that the board of supervisors should be more gender balanced. In my 6 years, I've never had a gender balance, and I've never had a problem with that. What's your opinion on having a gender balanced board of supervisors?
I wholeheartedly agree. We at the city, it just came out with this. We've hired 3 new female firefighters. They do an outstanding job. One of them was the new firefighter on my crew, and they do a great job all around. So either way, of course, I'd like to be elected, and I'm not a female. However, for that part of the job, that would be up to for you guys in your decision-making process and, of course, the public come November.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Ray will take you back. Linda Merkin. Did she enjoy your color?
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
We wrote our comment.
I'm using my.
Somebody else breathing?
Yes.
Which is rare.
Okay. All right. Linda, just before you start, just know that Patty is your timekeeper. And she'll hold up the first sign. We'll be at the 5-minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a red sign, you run out of time.
5 minutes?
Five minutes, then 6 minutes, and 6.5 minutes, then 7 minutes. So.
Thank you.
But we switched to goldenrod at 30 seconds left, and then red when time's up. I do everything with color coding on the election side if I can. And you're welcome to start when you're ready.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if anybody else has told you, there are some fascinating conversations going on in the other room. You have lots of good people to select from here. I'm really enjoying it a lot. So that's a little bit of my time, I know. The vacancy committees worked really quickly to establish a process for filling the vacancy caused by the unexpected death of Supervisor Paul Toot. One of the marks of a dedicated public servant is carrying on in the midst of personal sorrow. Your leadership in doing so is to be commended, and I want to thank you, as I'm sure others have, for your good and caring work in this time.
Thank you.
County supervisors have an extremely varied job. They provide a vision for the future, and they plan for it while making sure that employees have the resources they need to keep the roads plowed, protect our natural resources, hold elections, organize and preserve records, and provide all the other services that make Story County a great place to live. This is a big job. I had to check the statistics, and I'm not always up to date on them, but what I saw was we've got a population here that's fast approaching 100,000. We're the 8th largest county in Iowa, and we're also the 5th fastest growing county. The supervisors are collectively managing an organization of 250 employees and a $40 million budget. So the person who accepts this interim appointment will be serving a term of less than 6 months. So she or he needs to bring relevant knowledge and skills to the job and to be able to hit the ground running. As I see it, some of the major responsibilities of the supervisors are, I've got 3 here, providing sound personnel and financial management, ensuring public safety and well-being, and promoting and regulating development. And I want to tell you a little bit about my experience in those areas. From 1976 through 2010, I was the director of the Second Judicial District Department of Correctional Services. What that meant was I was responsible for program, financial, and personnel operations of an agency whose 160 employees supervised over 3,200 adult offenders in the 22 counties of Iowa's Second Judicial District. I'm experienced in collective bargaining. I helped negotiate the statewide contract for over 1,000 community corrections employees, and I then administered that contract in our agency. I've developed and reviewed government budgets. I've written grant applications and received grants and overseen financial operations of an agency. I've also led the development and evaluation of educational and treatment programs for offenders under the department's supervision. I worked for a 32-person board. 22 of those were county supervisors who were serving statutorily, and that gave me an understanding of the Iowa open meetings laws and meeting dynamics, as well as the many duties of a county supervisor. I also heard a lot about secondary roads, even though that wasn't on the agenda. That just happened. So, at a budget of $11.3 million, public safety and legal services are over one quarter of Story County's budget. I have a background in corrections, plus I served as chairperson of the Gilbert Franklin Township Fire and Emergency Response Agency for 2 years. Those experiences give me a unique understanding of how various agencies work together to provide public safety, especially in smaller communities. And then, obtaining sites for residential facilities throughout the 2nd District was another of my responsibilities. So that gave me firsthand knowledge of zoning processes and some of the problems that can come up when you're trying to work on a zoning issue, especially when it's a corrections issue. I currently serve on the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission, and I'm gaining greater knowledge of county planning and development issues through that experience. But experience isn't the only thing that somebody's going to need to be of use. Somebody's also going to have a commitment to Story County, plus an understanding of and ability to deal with numerous issues. I've lived in Story County all my life. During the time that I worked in corrections, it was important to me to also give time to other local service agencies. I served as a volunteer and also chaired the boards of Access and of Open Line, which, for those of you who don't remember, it was a volunteer hotline that served Story County for many years. I was also part of a small group who developed and provided leadership to the Story County Mental Health and Criminal Justice Task Force. This effort resulted in improved communication among all of the agencies involved and culminated in the creation of Story County's Jail Diversion Program for individuals with mental illness. When I retired in 2010, my goal for what I was seeing as my second career was to use my knowledge and skills gained in my first career to be useful to the community. That's why I accepted the challenge to guide the Gilbert and Franklin Township Fire and Emergency Response Agency during its creation and the first 2 years of operation after the dissolution of the West Story Fire Agency. And soon after I retired, I began active service with the League of Women Voters of Ames and Story Counties. Is that 1 minute? 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Thank you. I served 3 years as president. I also helped reestablish voter registration efforts in Story County and expanded candidate and legislative forums into several communities in the county. And I'm proud to have served as an election official in, I believe, every election in Story County since 2012. Lucy's counting.
Bree would have to check for me.
Be kind, Donna Bree. I think I have. In conclusion, here's what I can offer Story County. First, experience. I understand how boards work. I've been on boards. I've worked for a board. I understand what goes into managing a large government organization. I'm skilled in solving problems and getting people to work together. I have experience in helping citizens understand the role of government and the facts beyond the sound bites. My experience in government would allow me to step in and be effective immediately. Second is commitment. I am passionate about the need for good government and for openness and transparency in decision making. I'm willing to invest the time to do this job well, and I'm willing to continue beyond the interim appointment if my continued service would be useful and the opportunity is there. This commitment would contribute to continuity and to effective board operations and leadership. Third, I have an open mind. Spending the last 6 years in positions that required me to be nonpartisan has helped me develop relationships with diverse groups and to look at issues from all sides. I believe in, and I practice data-based decision-making. So I want to thank you for considering me for service to the county as an interim supervisor. Regardless of who's selected, I want to see the county served well and to contribute in any way I can to a successful and caring transition. And there is the sign. Sorry about that.
No, but you, please stay at the mic. We have four questions for you.
Yes.
First one, one of the requirements for appointment is to pass a background screen with no prior criminal history. Knowing that the media and the public can really scrutinize everyone's past, is there anything else in your background that you want to disclose that would disqualify you from this appointment or could embarrass this committee or Story County if you are appointed?
No.
Thank you.
I had a question of what the appointment will do to your current time commitments and service commitments that you have. What would have to change, if anything, if you were selected?
Yes. I've been thinking about that and thinking about options for folks who can step in to do some of the things that I'm doing right now with the league. I presume I would not be able to continue to serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission because I can't see a county supervisor serving in
right.
another capacity, so that would have to go. But I've been thinking about that. There may be some things I can give up. There may be some things that I can rearrange, and I would do that.
Linda, I just need a little clarification on your questionnaire. It kind of sounded like you were unsure or unsettled in your thoughts about running to put your name on the ballot in November. Being a supervisor is a very rewarding and enjoyable job, but it's not always a fun job, as you know. What would persuade you to put your name on the ballot for November? If you